Open your Bible with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we've been looking at the gifts of the Spirit for some time now. And we generally have been beginning by reading a couple of verses here. We read all of these verses about the gifts of the Spirit. And then we go to the end of the chapter and we read about where it says we're to desire them, and then the beginning of 14, verse 1, where it says to desire them, and then again at the end of the chapter, where it says we are to desire these gifts. And we've talked a lot about what are we desiring? Are we even desiring them to begin with? And if we are we willing to step out and walk in them? And it's not... Desiring the gifts are not optional if you want to be obedient. Now, we don't want to get our focus onto the gift. Our focus is on the one the gift comes from. And if we focus on Him and stay compliant and willing and obedient and desire more of Him, the gift is just something that'll flow through us. Kind of like when you yell at a cat and it jumps. It's just a natural response. I don't know where that came from, but it's a great illustration. Stomp at the cat and it jumps. It's just a natural response. Well, when you're staring at the Lord and He wants to do something through you, the natural response is obedience. And that gift just flows into that situation. That is a messed up illustration, but it works. Amen, she says. So I want to ask a question and just consider it for a moment, maybe talk to your neighbor about it for a little bit. This is a very general question, okay? I don't even expect you to get it right, the answer I'm looking for. Now, you'll get it right in many ways, okay, because it's such a general question. But what accompanies the gifts of the Spirit? So talk to your neighbor, come up with maybe several things. What accompanies the gifts of the Spirit? So how many of you are ready to shout out some answers? All right, what accompanies the gifts of the Spirit? Anyone? Power. Encouragement. Glory. Obedience. Love. What was that? God's will to be accomplished. Anointing. Peace, selflessness, willing to be used, focus. What was over here? Results. Any others that we want to add? Favor, grace, exhortation, the Spirit of God. What accompanies the gifts of the Spirit? I put something down here you're not going to like. Suffering. That's not one we think of right away, is it? Wait a minute. Pastor's been telling us to desire the gifts of the Spirit. Now he's telling us we're going to suffer if we have them? Suffer persecution. Oh, it gets better. That accompanies the gifts of the Spirit. Persecution. Suffering persecution. There's a lot of types of suffering on the earth. There's suffering of sickness and disease. There's suffering of poverty and lack. There's suffering of car accidents. There's suffering of calamities and tragedies. There's many different kinds of suffering in the world. But there's only two types of suffering that have been promised to believers. And I can assure you they're not car accidents, they're not sickness or disease, it's not poverty or lack. We've been redeemed from all those things according to the Word. It doesn't mean you won't experience them, but you've been given the promise to overcome them. Nowhere in Scripture do we have any grounds to say that we're going to suffer sickness. This is not the suffering we're talking about this morning. But we have been promised many times in Scripture suffering. So the two types of suffering that we've been promised, one is suffering from persecution, which we'll look at more in depth. The other one is suffering from God's discipline, or laying our will down for His will. In Hebrews chapter 12, I'll just go there. I want to just touch this real briefly before we go into suffering, persecution, and how those are related to the gifts of the Spirit. But in Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about the chastisement or the discipline that God gives His children. Now, if you're a child of God, there's a difference between you and someone who is not a child, right? They're of the world, you are of God. So there's two separate, distinct groups of people. What he says here in in Hebrews 12, verse 3, now what we're talking about is suffering, discipline, or chastisement. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. In other words, he's saying, think about him. Why? So that you won't grow weary and lose heart. In struggling against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons. My son, and now he quotes Proverbs 3, 11 and 12, my son, do not take the Lord's discipline lightly or faint when you are reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and punishes, oh joy. See, Proverbs says that if you're wise, you'll love rebuke. Oops, we should have had a lot more amens on that earlier one. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and punishes every son whom he receives. So have you been received of the Lord? Then I assure you that you have experienced the chastisement and discipline of God. If you haven't, you're not a son. That cut and dried. So what is it? What is the chastisement and discipline of God? If I've experienced it, what is it? Well, let's keep reading. Endure it as discipline. God is dealing with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, which all receive, all meaning all believers, all sons receive, not all humanity, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Or some translations say, then you're bastards, meaning you're illegitimate, you're not a son. Furthermore, we had natural fathers discipline us and we respected them. Shouldn't we submit? Here's the key word. This is where the suffering gets involved. Shouldn't we submit even more to the Father of spirits and live? That means laying down your desire, your will for His desire and His will. So we have two camps. We have the sons of God and we have the world. He says right here that the sons of God, all of them experience discipline, but the world, he does not discipline. So what you experience as a believer, that's the suffering and discipline of God, has to be something the world is not experiencing. Else they're experiencing it too, and he says that's not the case. So we know it can't be sickness and disease. That can't be the punishment of God. I mean, the chastisement and discipline of God. We know that it's not car accidents or tragedies. Because both groups experience both of those things. Now, you can get out of the will of God and experience those things, right? If you get out of His safety and you're 3 seconds later and boom, you get blindsided by that car instead of it missing you. So there's such a thing as getting out of the will of God and experiencing all these events. But the discipline that He gives the believer will always carry a choice, and a choice to receive it or not. That's suffering. Jesus did it in the Garden of Gethsemane. As He knelt there, He was sweating great drops of blood, and He's praying and He's crying. Now, does Jesus know what the will of the Father is for Him? Absolutely. He's super clear on what God wants. Yet He's kneeling there and He's saying, Father, if it's possible, take this away from me. Then He's like, ah, never mind. Nevertheless, your will be done, not mine. In other words, He's saying, Yeah, never mind that. Your will, he knows what the will of the Father is. So he is submitting his will to the Father's will. At that point in the garden, when he prayed that, what he wanted and what God wanted were two different things. And they were opposed to each other. They were not in agreement. Jesus is saying, let's do it a different way. You know what? Never mind that. Your will be done. Let's do it your way. And he submitted himself and he suffered. That's suffering. If you don't believe he was suffering, well, how come he was sweating great drops of blood? He was really working him over. So this is the discipline. This is the chastisement of the Lord. He'll require something of you that costs you something, and you have to lay down your will or your way to do it. And a quick example of this is about 14 years ago when we were living in Colorado, I liked to dirt bike, and man, it was my life. Every spare minute and dollar that I had, I'd put into dirt biking, and I was wanting to join this race circuit, and so I'm doing all this practicing, and I'm spending all the time on my bike, and my wife is just an amazing wife that she is. She comes out to the track and hangs out with me and is my cheerleader, so we were still together, you know, we're at the track, and what was that? Yeah, you'd run the clock for me and keep track of my time, and all these things, and I remember the Lord coming to me and saying, this has become an idol to you. He said, I want you to park the bike and don't ride for 6 months. Oh, man, this was my pride and joy, you know? Yeah, that's how come he asked me to do it. And so I obeyed. I said, all right. And I didn't get on that bike. I didn't touch it for 6 months. Of course, all my buddies had the greatest riding trips ever come up during that time. Hey, will you go with us? Ah, come on, man. You're 3 weeks away from 6 months, you know? No, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. Lord said, wait 6 months. I'm going to wait. And I was disciplined. But I could have chose to disobey. See, I submitted. That's why he has that subjection, submit in there. So that's one type of suffering. That's the discipline of the Lord. The other type of suffering that we are promised is persecution. Let's go to Acts chapter 9. Say, well, wait, I thought we were talking about the gifts of the Spirit. We are. And you'll begin to, as we go through this morning, you'll begin to see how they're connected. Acts chapter 9. So we have Saul, who later his name is changed to Paul. He's on the way down to Damascus. And I'm just going to begin reading in verse 1 so we get it all in context. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and requested letters from him to the synagogues in Damascus, which is over in modern-day Syria, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, either men or women, he might bring them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he traveled and was nearing Damascus, a light from heaven suddenly flashed around him. Falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now, we know that this was a discerning of spirits because the people that were with him heard a sound, but they didn't hear or understand the voice or the words, I should say. So there was a discerning of spirits that was happening here. Paul didn't know who it was, but he knew whoever it was, it's Lord. Because of what he says next, he goes, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me do? Then the Lord replied, get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the sound or the voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they took him by the hand and led him into Damascus. He was unable to see for 3 days, and he did not eat or drink. Now in Damascus there was a disciple named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, here we have discerning of spirits again. Here I am, Lord, he said. Get up and go to the street called Straight. The Lord said to him, that was word of wisdom, which has to do with his futures, giving him direction. He says, to go to the house of Judas and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, since he is praying there. So this is a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge altogether. in a vision, he had seen a man named Ananias coming in and placing his hands on him so he may regain his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard from many people about this man, how much harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has authority here from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before Gentiles, kings, and sons of Israel. I will certainly show him how much he must suffer for my name. Do we like to read, us Word of Faith people, we want to talk the victory. We want to read fast over that part of the verse and get to the place where his eyes were opened and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. That suffering bit, I don't know, that was for Paul. So then the story, let me just keep reading so that you have the whole context for those of you that may not be familiar with it. So Ananias left and entered the house, and then he placed his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road you were traveling has sent me so you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. At once something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food he regained strength. Saul was with the disciples in Damascus for some days. Immediately he began proclaiming Christ the Messiah in the synagogues. He is the Son of God. We say we want the gifts of the Spirit, but do we want what comes with them? Suffering. You still want them? Yep, okay, I'm in the right place. Listen, you don't need to turn. I'm just going to read a whole bunch of scriptures to you quickly. But I want you to understand that we are told to expect suffering in this way. Expect it. Acts 14:22, the last part of the verse, Paul saying that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. Philippians 1:29, for it has been given to you on Christ's behalf, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for Him. I'd have been all right if they just wouldn't have put these in. You know? You're delivered from all suffering. See, that's what a lot of people think about the Word of Faith and charismatic people. They think, well, you guys don't believe in suffering. Oh, that's not true. The Bible's very clear on suffering. It's just also clear that we've been delivered from suffering from sickness and suffering from poverty. And see, why do I say that about poverty? Well, poverty is part of the curse of the law. And in Galatians 3, it tells us that we have been set free from the curse of the law. Same way with that, in that curse was all the sickness. Every sickness on the earth is listed there. Because it lists a bunch of them and then it says every sickness not named. That covers all of them. We're part of that curse in Deuteronomy, if you'll read it. And then in Galatians it says, we've been purchased from this. We've been redeemed from it. Doesn't mean you won't experience it in your body. What it does mean is that when it shows up, you have a promise of God to stand on, that you receive divine supernatural healing. 2 Timothy 3:11 and 12. Along with the persecutions and sufferings that came to me in Antioch, Paul is speaking, Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured. Now here's a shouter. Yet the Lord rescued me from them all. But don't lose sight of that. We're going to talk about that at the end. But there's rescue from the persecution. But expect it. It says, in fact, all those who will live a godly life, is that any of us in here? Karen, a few amens, a few other hands. I don't know, I'm going to sign up for this persecution stuff. I thought we were signing up for freedom. In fact, all those who will live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Have you been persecuted? Boy, now I'm meddling. I'm just going to back out of that one. We'll go read more scriptures. Romans 8:16 and 18, the Spirit Himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children, and if children, also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, seeing that we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. See, there's the shouting part of the verse. Suffer with Him, glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not even worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 16. Dear friends, when the fiery ordeal arises among you to test you, don't be surprised by it, as if something unusual were happening to you. Instead, as you share in the sufferings of the Messiah, rejoice. What? Supposed to get excited when we're persecuted? Why? It says, so that you may also rejoice with great joy at the revelation of His glory. If you are ridiculed for the name of Christ, you are blessed. Because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. None of you, however, should suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he should not be ashamed, but should glorify God with that name. Let's see what Jesus said when He was talking to the disciples. He says, if the world hates you, understand that it hated Me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. However, because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world hates you. Remember the word I've spoken to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted Me, well, did they? Yep. They will also persecute you. If they kept My word, they will also keep yours. But they will do all these things to you on account of My name, because they don't know the One who sent Me. Now remember, when these things happen, don't quit believing. Don't sing, poor, poor, pitiful me. But believe. There's rescue from it. Over and over again through Acts you see them being delivered from the persecution, escaping the persecution, being invisible in a bus, that's right. Remember in Acts 3 how Peter and John had gone by the Gate Beautiful, and they saw the man, and there was special faith and a working of miracles, and the beggar was healed. He asked them for money, and he said, well, I don't have money, but what I have I'll give to you. And taking a hold of his hand, he lifts him up. And man, the guy starts leaping and jumping around, and he's full of joy. And there's a big ruckus and a riot, and a crowd gathers, and they throw Peter and John in prison for this wonderful deed they did. They're arrested, they're beat, they're imprisoned. So what just happened? Gifts of the Spirit showed up, beaten and imprisoned. Acts 5, it says there was signs and wonders happening, and it was so great even that people were just coming trying to let Peter's shadow fall on them, just pass across them, because they knew they'd be healed if this happened. And what happened because of this, these gifts of the Spirit flowing? Again, arrested, beaten, and imprisoned. Acts 6, Stephen, verse 8 says he was full of faith and of power, and signs and wonders were happening. And because of these signs and wonders, man, they took him and they put him on the stand, and he begins to testify, and they take him out and stone him and kill him. Stoned to death. Acts 9, Saul, we just read about it. He has discerning of spirits operate. He gets gloriously saved, begins to preach the gospel, and immediately persecuted. They lay in wait for him in that same town to kill him, and they have to let him down over the wall in a basket to escape. Acts chapter 10, Peter, remember he's up there on the housetop, on the rooftop. He goes into a vision, discerning of spirits takes place, and God says, look, don't call anything unclean that I've made clean, and that the gospel is for all people, all creation. And so Peter's sitting there and he's thinking about this, and someone shows up at the gate, and the Spirit of the Lord comes and gives him a word of knowledge and says there's someone at the gate. So he goes down, he talks to him, Spirit of the Lord gives him a word of wisdom, says go with them, preach the word. So he goes with them back to the house where they had come to get him, and he preaches the gospel, and the whole family of this guy that had sent these men to come get Peter gets saved. And they get filled with the Holy Spirit, and they're speaking in tongues, and all these things are happening. And what does Peter get for all of this? Man, his own denomination, he's in trouble with them now. He goes back to Jerusalem and gets the what for? What are you doing in a Gentile's house? You're supposed to be preaching this to the Jews. And man, he stands up and after lengthy debate, and I mean, they got the whole council of his entire denomination together, and eventually they settled the matter that yes, the gospel is for everyone. But I mean, he faced difficulty with his own people because of it. Acts 14, Paul and Barnabas, they went out and they were doing signs and wonders. Man, what happened? They took them and stoned them. They had to flee town. Later in the same chapter, remember the man from Lystra, the lame man, that Paul sees that he has faith to be healed? And so there was, that man had special faith. And he calls it out and he jumps up and is healed. Man, they drag Paul out of town and stone him. Leave him for dead. They thought they killed him. It says they left him for dead. I mean, if they had thought he was still alive, they would have stayed and kept throwing stones. And I don't know, but maybe he was dead. Because it says the believers came out and gathered around him, and then he stood up. Something happened. Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas, they go on a missionary trip. Remember that fortune-telling slave girl that's following them around saying, they are proclaiming. She actually was saying what was right, but she is making a disturbance and making a pain out of herself. Paul finally gets annoyed with this, and finally what it is it's not just that he got annoyed, but at the right time, the Spirit of God on him and in him says, act now. And he casts the devil out of this fortune-telling girl. And so the people that owned her are angry because now you've taken away our income. So they stir up the whole town. What was that? Well, the gifts of discerning of spirits. One thing that had happened. He recognized there was a spirit on this girl. Cast her out. Well, they're beaten and imprisoned. You remember the story. We need to have more than just good teaching and preaching in the church today. We must have these gifts in operation. In 1 Corinthians 2, let's go there. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. Simply, he's saying how that we need the power of God. It's not in just tongue or word. Verses 1 through 5, when I came to you, brothers, announcing the testimony of God to you, I did not come with brilliance of speech or wisdom, but I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and power. What are those? Well, those are the gifts of the Spirit. So that your faith might not be based on men's wisdom, but on God's power. We need the confirmation of the Word. And with that, we're promised there's going to be opposition. Why do we not see more suffering and persecution today? Maybe because we're not seeing more of the gifts. When you look in Acts, the more that the gifts were on display, the more the persecution came. So as we desire the gifts of the Spirit to be manifest here in our body and out on the street and wherever we go, understand that with that comes opposition. But the Lord will deliver you from them all. There's much more that we could cover. Maybe we'll leave that until another time. Because we didn't get to the reward. So y'all go out going, oh, we're going to suffer. So you got to come back for part two in 2 weeks about the reward now. Because there is reward for it, and we will be sure to cover it. Lord willing, yes, to be continued. So stand to your feet, please. We need to move downstairs. Father, I just ask that in each of us, by your Spirit, you would bring an understanding of what we've read this morning, what we've heard this morning. Father, give us understanding and wisdom. Increase our hunger and desire. And we'll determine to follow you, to walk after you, to take the steps that are required of us. Lord, we look to you to operate these gifts through us on a daily basis. that you might be lifted up and glorified, that the kingdom will be expanded, that people will be delivered from darkness. This is our desire, Lord. And Father, if people say ugly things about us, if they persecute us, we just look to You as our strength and our deliverer. That You would count us worthy to even be considered the same as Jesus is just amazing, and we thank You for it. We don't shrink back in fear, but we stand boldly in the power of Your Spirit. Can you say amen to that? Well, we sang about it. So who has a testimony about how great He is? What has He done for you? Maybe it's been something He's done long ago. Maybe it's been something He did just this morning or this week. I've got a mic. Who's going to tell us how great He is? All right, Brian.
Praise the Lord. It's awesome to be in the house of God this week. I had a text message a week ago from a friend that has a... Her daughter works with another guy whose wife was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer, like my wife. And I prayed for her, and then I got a text message 2 days later. So I said, well, I'm going to go up and I'm going to pray for her. Then I said, wait, I'm not going to do this out of emotion or out because I want to do it or because I went through it. So I said, Lord, if this is what You want me to do, let me know. And all of a sudden, it's like Satan wouldn't send you to pray for somebody. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm going. And I walked and I went up, and she was in ICU. And, you know, unless you're a family member, you can't go into the ICU. I walked into that hospital like I was invisible. I walked right through into the intensive care, and I knocked on the door and I said, Jamie. She said, yeah. I said, God sent me here with a message for you. So I went in and I just started feeding her the love of God. I mean, it was just oozing. I could feel it. And she was crying and clutching onto me. And I said, I want to pray for you, Jamie. So I prayed for her. And I asked her, I said, did you ever receive Jesus? And she said, no. But that day she did. She prayed with me.
Hallelujah.
And then I met her husband, and I got to pray with him. And here he's an ex-Philadelphia Eagles football player. Yeah. So it was just awesome what God did there. And she's there ready to meet the Lord, no matter what happens.
Amen. Hallelujah. All of heaven rejoice. Who else has a testimony?
This is Ashley Sue's. But she had been having some real challenges lately with things. And she had to sit and have a meeting with her brother. And they really had it out with each other to get things on the table and what was right. But we called the prayer chain and put it on the prayer chain. And talked to Karen the day she went down. And for the first time in years, she walked into that place and there was nothing to battle with. There was such a peace over that place. When she come down into the valley, into that place, it's like she felt the peace of God as she drove into that. God's angels just came in and they drove out any evil forces that would have caused that to disrupt. And it was a good meeting.
Amen. Hallelujah. He is faithful, isn't He?
I was just reminded this morning, when you begin to pray for somebody, I've been praying for Raymond Green and praying for him and believing the Lord for him to come into the kingdom. It's either 2 or 3 weeks ago today, Brother Brian Wolves and I went to visit Raymond, and he accepted Jesus, and also he got prayer for healing for his cancer in his body. That's just awesome. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. Leo. Karen, were you raising your hand?
Thank you. Back in 2000, while we were on a missions trip to Panama, I had a situation where I turned gray and was belching, and I thought it was just because of some good Panamanian food. But it wound up that they found out that I had a block in my artery. So they put a stent in 2000. And I've been doing great all since then. But in November, I started to go back down a little bit. So a week ago, Thursday, I went into the doctors and he said, hospital, catheterization, and here I had another blockage in my heart. So they put another stent in. Now that's life-saving because it's what they call the widowmaker that I had. So the second time. So I'm really rejoicing because I am alive. I'm still here. But yesterday, we got to celebrate our 50th wedding anniversary. So I got to be here with my gift from God and to celebrate God's goodness, His love, His mercy. So don't fear. He's not done with you, and He'll keep you going. Praise Him.
Amen. Amen.
Well, Jesus is alive and well and working in the hearts of men. I come from a family of 10 good Catholics, and all my siblings are born again. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
Some are going to Catholic Church still, but they're born again believers. My oldest brother called me a few days ago just to talk, and one thing led to another, and I had asked him, I said to him, did you know that God started the charismatic movement in the Catholic Church in the 70s? I said, were you a part of that? And he said, yes. And I said, did you ever receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And he said, no, I never did. And I said, why not? He said, I don't know. I said, well, what's keeping you from receiving right now? And silence. And all of a sudden he said, well, I don't know. I said, well, let's pray. You don't want to leave this beautiful gift of the fullness of the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, a heavenly language between you and the Father, on the table, do you? And he said, no. So I said, lift your hands. I mean, this happened in the matter of minutes. Said a prayer, led him into a confession, then said the prayer. And all of a sudden I said, now, Michael, let's just pray in the Holy Ghost together. And all I'm praying, but I'm listening, right? And all of a sudden I hear, these syllables. I said, that's it, Michael, keep praying. And in about 5 to 10 minutes, Michael started praying in sentences. And all of a sudden I heard, wow. So keep praying for your family to receive Amen. The fullness Amen. Of Jesus. Amen.
That's wonderful. Wave at me, whoever had their hand up.
I don't usually talk because I cry so much, but since I came here October 30th, my whole life has changed because you guys truly live the Word and you have it so deep inside of you, and it's changed my life. And I thought I was a mature, Spirit-filled Christian before. I'm just a baby. And God's so good, and there's so much teaching in this church and so many good people, and they love you so much. Whoever you are, you're loved if you're in this church. And I never felt loved in 64 years, 65 years, but I do now.
Well, hallelujah. This is contagious, isn't it? God is good. All these stories about people coming into the kingdom, you're just going to hear that more and more and more. It's going to grow exponentially. So are we ready for it?
Yeah.
All right. We also have to be willing to do it. Right? All right. Hallelujah.
So about 2 years ago, the Lord delivered me from a drug and alcohol addiction. And I couldn't go into my house. My parents took my house key, and now I can drive their car and they're not worried about where I'm going or what I'm doing. So I'm just really grateful for that and what God has done in my life and in my family. So,
hallelujah.
It's contagious. Praise the Lord. Sometimes there's so many things happening around you that you don't even realize that a miracle happened or God's protection was in place. So, as we're sitting here, I was reminded this week, we were on our way home, and it was dark, and we're getting close to our house. We're about a mile from our house. And we're driving. We're going, you know, 50, whatever. It's a straight road. And just like that, in a fraction of a second, as we're going through an intersection, a car ran a stop sign full speed and just flashed in front of us. I mean, it was just boom, that fast. And I mean, I couldn't even react as far as braking or turning. It just, it happened. And in that instant, it was just a reminder of God's protection. Psalms 91:10, you know, no evil befalls us. So just, I just had to share that, you know, it's just God's protection, even sometimes that you don't even realize it's happening so fast. So that's praise right. God.
Thank you.
This week, I was reminded of something that God did actually almost 23 years ago. I was pregnant with Caleb, and it was the best pregnancy I had, no problems. And one Sunday at church, somebody said, I feel God wants me to pray for you for this baby. I thought, oh, I'll take it. But, you know, things have been going well. And just before, about 2 weeks before he was due, my blood pressure hit the ceiling. And the midwife wanted me to go to the hospital. And then I said, can I wait till morning to see if it changed? I thought, if it would have been a doctor, I wouldn't have had that opportunity. But I felt peace. We felt peace in our hearts, you know, to stand on the word. And the next morning, it was down just a little bit. She gave me something to take to get it down. And she goes, why do you have that? I said, you gave it to me to get to help get the blood pressure down. She just turned white. And it was something to take after. She gave the wrong thing. She gave something to get rid of the placenta afterwards. And here I was still carrying him at this high blood pressure. And she says, this is in God's hand. And Alan said right away, if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them.
Amen.
But she said, we got to get this going. She said, if you have peace about it, she'll stand with us. But she said, through delivery, I'm going to have to stay on my back. I cannot do nothing. And she had me all prepared, you know, for emergency if I need to go to the hospital. And she took my blood pressure. She dropped the pump and left the room so fast. And I'm like, oh, no, in the name of Jesus, whatever. She comes back with another pump, and she takes my blood pressure, and it was totally normal. I mean, it just hit me again this week. That was such a miracle. She said, I never seen this happen, she said. She said, go for a walk.
Go for a walk. Don't stay on your back. God is good.
Hey, guys. So, a lot of you guys know me. Some of you might not, but my name's Shane. And around June 20th of last year, I went on a vacation trip with some buddies. And that was the vacation that changed my life. It's the vacation that I was truly saved and found the Lord. And just in these, what is it, like 7-8 months now, I now have a fiance. I now have a new family who is all spirit-filled that I've never had before, and I just experienced a glimpse of the glory of God just these past couple of weekends ago, and he's just showed me, you know, where my life is going to go and the people that I'm going to touch. And I just never thought that someone like me could ever do that, or, you know, be loved by so many people or be able to touch this many people's hearts. And even in my learning, he's still using me to touch the hearts of others while I feel that I'm not ready yet. And, you know, it's just, sorry, very overwhelming. It just shows you that, you know, it doesn't matter who you are. He loves you, and he's going to use you, and he's going to put you to work. Just praise God. That's all I got to say.
About 5.5 years ago, God called me to go to Armada Bible School, and for a period for us to live by faith, that he would supply our needs through that time period. So I went to the school, and after the school was over, I didn't have anything lined up, but God provided a job for me. And it was almost exactly 5 years ago, I was talking to Terry Armstrong, and she had told me that I need to make a list of everything that I want in a job, and then believe for that list. And my wife and I were going through some papers yesterday, and we found that list. I haven't looked at it for years, but there were there was a list of probably 8 or 9 things that I wanted out of a job, and God has exceeded, either met or exceeded all but 2 of them. The one was I wanted a transportation provided by my job, and I live across the street, so I get to bring a golf cart home from work, so I have my transportation. And the other one, the Lord told me he's still working on. But he has met or exceeded every single one of those things that I put on a list 5 years ago. And he's just been so good to us.
Amen. That's wonderful.
As some of you know, back in 2008, I had prostate cancer, and the Lord still is healing, and he does heal. And the urologist said, 1 to 10, 10 being the worst, you're number 8. So the Lord has healed me, and I, like Leo, I'm so glad I'm here. And I praise him every day, and I thank him.
With God, all things are possible.
Well, I got saved in the Catholic Charismatic, and I did pray in tongues in Jesus' name. I want to share, I'm the oldest of 8 children, and my mother was an alcoholic, and my father was a sex addict, to be honest. So I raised the younger children. And yesterday, 2 of my sisters, who do not speak to each other, were here yesterday. One has a really religious spirit, God bless her, but she lives it. I mean, she's really, that's Elizabeth. She is really, really, really lives her faith. But to her, you know, coming into a charismatic church, that was a miracle yesterday. Seriously, she wouldn't have stepped foot. I mean, just absolutely would not. And then the other sister, she is a fit with her because, you know, generational curses, we have generational blessings too. But in our family, gossip was huge. And Patricia was a gossip. So there are 27 grandchildren in my family. So Patty knows about everybody's everything. And so Patty would call and I'd say, wait a minute. I said, do you want to hear what happened, Jeremiah? I said, if Jeremiah wants me to know Jeremiah, call me. My name is not Jeremiah and neither is yours. So you're not talking to me. So her pastor, she goes to Liz Methodist. Her pastor has worked really hard with her. So when Elizabeth was coming, she wanted to know which of my siblings were coming because she's so religious. She just gets into preaching to them all the time. And so it was so cool because yesterday they sat next to each other at the table. And Connie and Dave, the pastor that was here yesterday to help participate in our 50th anniversary, she told me, she said, your sisters actually, I would have never known there was a problem. She said they talked and they shared and they blessed each other. So no matter what spirits operate in your family, I told my family from the day I got saved. I got saved and bought them all Bibles. All Catholic Bibles, thank you, but they were all Bibles. And said, you're not going to go to hell because I didn't tell you. So they're all saved today too. Okay? And I have 2 of them that are spirit-filled. So we could work around the rest of them. But don't give up on your families. If you have a religious spirit that operates in your family, don't give up. You keep telling them, you know what? Jesus is still Lord. We'll see you in heaven. And we keep praying hound to heaven. My one sister that wasn't here, she went to a Baptist church. And that pastor preached against the gifts of the Spirit because Leo and I were there. And my sister's like, oh my gosh, she's going to get it because she's my sister. So she's going to get up and walk out. And I didn't. I sat there and I prayed in the Spirit the whole service. And I said, I did worse than that. She said, what? I said, I asked God to shake this church from its foundation up. Within 6 months, that church had a split. They have a strong, charismatic Baptist church in Middletown, New Jersey today out of that church.
Amen. Amen. You know, God is not a respecter of persons. He's a respecter of faith. So believe the word. If you've been believing or standing for something, don't give up now, because that'll get you nothing. Stand on the promise. Refuse to let go. Keep your eyes fixed on the finisher. Jesus is called the finisher. So wait for that finish. Amen? We're going to take the tithe and the offerings. God is the God of abundance, the God of prosperity, the God of more than enough, the God of no need too big, no problem too big. He is the answer. If we would only take testimonies of God's faithfulness to finances, we could take up the rest of this day, I'm sure, with each one of us telling stories of God's faithfulness and keeping His promises and His Word being true in our life. We have more amazing promises than what we grasp or take a hold of effectively. We just graze the surface. And we need to let it take root in us and become our reality in us. I was thinking this week about how that is so easy. It's so easy to look at your abilities to provide for yourself, or look at your job, or begin to look at your savings account, or any number of things like this as the source to meet the need that's coming up. And we have to deliberately, intentionally, put our focus on the source, which is God, and not upon the channel the money is flowing through. See, God's not going to reach out His hand and give you money in the physical. You're not going to see the hand of God appear in the room and hand you a paycheck. He's going to use channels to get it to you, and some of them are going to be through your job, some of them are going to be through unexpected sources. One way He gets increased to you is simply by your things not wearing out. But we have to understand that when it comes, the blessing comes through a channel. Don't look at that channel as this is my source. This is where I need to expect the blessing from. Expect the blessing from God, and it flows through those channels. And then just as it flows to you, it'll flow out from you to the places that God directs. Bigger than you know. We need to dream bigger, don't we? Supernatural dreams. But take your tithe or your offering and let's pray over it. Father, we thank You so much for Your exceeding great promises. You've said even that You'd do more than we can think or ask. And we can think and ask of a lot, Lord. So, as touching our finances, Father, Your Word, Your promises, we just stand on them and we believe that they'll come to pass every time, that every need is met by Your riches. Father, that You're the God of abundance, that You desire us to prosper even as our soul prospers. So Lord, we look to You to bring us true prosperity, not just financial prosperity, but true prosperity in every area of our life. In areas where we've not worked with You properly, or we've blocked off prosperity from our lives, reveal this to us by Your Spirit so that we can make the changes that are necessary to be a channel of God's goodness, of Your goodness to all those around us. This is our desire in Jesus' name and amen. Well, the ushers can wait on the people. And the people will give unto the Lord. This week, the Lord brought you and put you on my heart. If I can say it without crying. They've been an example to each one of us. But taking kids into their home that were not their kids, that weren't born to them. By doing so, they have been the hands and feet of Jesus in a mighty way to this community. Now, each one of us have, I'm not saying you need to run out and adopt someone or go into foster care. You need to obey God. But they've been an example to all of us in laying down their life for something that God's put in their heart. And the Lord said to me, Austin, you may not look like it, but you're a giant. Don't forget it. You're a giant. So I want to just stretch out your hands. Could I have your hands, please? Father, thank You so much for this couple. I just thank you for your grace that's on them. Touch them, Lord, in mightier ways. Meet every need that comes. Father, I thank you for the compassion that you've put in them, and I just call for more of it even, Lord. Stir it up. Your grace for every area in their life that they need it. Your divine wisdom on how to lead for Austin, for Kathy, how to mother, that they'll be the best parents that those children could have. Thank you, Lord, for patience, for endurance. Thank you for touching places that may hurt because of the situations that they find themselves in. Just touch and bring healing and life. Oh, thank you, Father. Fill them full of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, and amen. Yes, come, do.
So we covet your prayers right now. I don't know how many of you know, but I just started school 3 weeks ago. I'm taking one class, only one class. This is a vision that was placed in my heart 2 years ago when I was sitting in court for our two oldest. I believe that the system would be better if it was run by people that had raised kids that had been through trauma. In order for me to do vocationally what I want to do, I need to get through law school and I need to pass the bar. So we have a very long, big goal in front of us, and it's pointless, in my opinion, for me to go out there and try to change the world for other kids if I'm not going to raise my own. So I'm starting very slowly. Right now I'm working on my bachelor's in criminal justice, and we're expecting this to take like 8 years, maybe even longer, and after that will be law school. So keep us in your prayers as we balance. I don't want to leave the kids feeling like mom is just doing her own thing, but I do feel like I'm called to do this. Austin feels the same, and he is right now funding this dream. So may God give us grace, and it's just amazing to feel like you're in the middle of the will of the Lord.
Amen. That's right. Well, Father, give them supernatural learning ability and retention in the name of Jesus. All right, we have... how many of you expect good things from God? We have a few couples in here that are expecting good things from God. Children. So all of you that are going to be having a baby in the next month, come up, or in the next 4 weeks, 5 weeks. Kelly, when are you due? 10 weeks, okay. We'll pray for you later then. Let's gather over on this side. Life is a precious gift. You guys know that because you're parents, and you know that because you face the possibility of without it. So let's pray for them to get like this. Father, I thank you so much for your grace. It's touch this family, this child that's still in the womb. Thank you that you've given them divine health. We just ask for continued divine health, for a supernatural delivery. Thank you that you are the one who takes the pain. You've bore our pain, and we thank you for that. Father, meet every need that they face as a family, as they face individually. Fulfill them. In Jesus' name, be full of life and health. And we call that child forth in Jesus' name in complete health. Complete health. All right, your turn. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, continue to work in the family. Thank you for the life you've given. Thank you for the divine health that they've been blessed with. We just call this child forth in the name of Jesus, whole and sound, full of health, full of life. Thank you, Lord, that you give her strength, supernatural delivery and strength. That you make, you're the one who takes the pain. Father, thank you that fear is far from them, in Jesus' name. So be blessed and be favored. And amen. Hallelujah.